Welcome to It's That Podcast, episode 39. I'm your host, Joe Lindholm, along with my co-host, Jason Shirley. Jason, tell me what's up.
What's good, Joe?
Oh, it's all good, baby. All good, all good.
And thanks for doing that solo flight for me last week.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Glad I could do what I can. But
I had to take a knee. Get my meds rebalanced because the exuberance from the bear and the demise of the coup, it was just all too much at once for me.
Way too much. But just remember, Jay, that...
Right about now.
Yes, that's right.
You're about to be possessed by the sounds of MC Rawface.
That's right.
And DJ Easy.
That's right. Rob Bass. Yes. Because Jay.
It does take two.
It does take two. That's right. That's right.
If only the coup could have taken two.
If only the coup could have scored two.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
That is exactly right.
So let's get this. Let's get that out of the way. Let's get a little Cub action out of the way.
All right, man. What did you think of Spiegel's article?
I didn't get a chance to read it. Sports radio the day after was just a. Oh my god.
Yeah, I had to. I had to sit out. I couldn't take it.
Yeah, it was.
I had to decompress. Or as Mully asked somebody, he asked Jim Hickey yesterday. He goes, so how long is it going to take you to decompose? You know, from this
decompose. Look, the bottom line, everybody wanted to pin it on Madden.
Right? Oh, no.
Right, like, everybody's like, oh, you know, he should have pinch hit Schwarber instead of Hayward, and he should have left Hamels in, and hit the ball, man. That's it.
That's all you got to do. If you don't hit, you don't win. It's baseball simple that way.
It's Joe Madden's job to put the best guy in the best spot to hit. And it's up to the player to execute. And if he doesn't execute, then you're fucked. Right?
Right. And then normally your sacrificial lamb would be Chili Davis. But for what he was able to get out of Jason Hayward the first half.
Yeah.
Come on.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that was a Rubik's Cube up until this year.
Yeah, I mean Bryant hit less, but Bryant was hurt. We don't know to what extent he was hurt.
I want to say, they said when he came back he wouldn't be 100% this year. They were guessing it was like between 78 and 82%
that he had. Well,
then the question is, does a 78% Bryant, is he better than anybody else that's on your bench? And my guess is probably yes.
Yeah, probably so, right?
I mean, they had Bodie play third because so he wouldn't have to throw as much.
Right, put him in left field.
And I think Bodie's a better defensive third baseman, to be quite honest.
Probably so. And that throw that Bryant made, I forget who he threw out, but dead from the outfield. Oh, it was the play where... Desmond tried to tag from first.
Yes.
Like an idiot.
Yeah, like that was dumb.
Like, you know, he played third base, right? Like, even though he's got like probably half a shoulder, he can still throw the ball.
Right.
Like, just dumb.
Well, and then that's the other part, man. Him coming back, so he's not 100%, and then they try to change his swing completely to keep two hands on through the completion of the swing, because that will save his arm. For as much as he goes to the cage,
that's gonna
let him play longer.
Exactly. Yeah, and I mean, and like I said, everybody wants to pin it on Madden. It's not he had nothing to do. Well, he had nothing to do with it. But
right,
you gotta score more than a run.
Right,
and that's the way it was all season.
Well, I was talking to my old man this morning, and we were talking about the Spiegel article, and he goes, "Yeah, did you see where he?" Theo called Belichick, and because Theo was like, you know, what do? You know, when people expect you to win, how do you handle that all the time?
If you're going to talk to somebody about that, that's a guy to talk to, right?
Yeah, and he goes, yeah, you're fucked. But apparently,
Belichick
did the same thing. He went, I don't know.
But yeah,
My old man said he went and talked to Vince Lombardi, but I can't imagine.
No.
That would have been a thing.
Me neither, right?
Sorry, Dad.
Yeah. But at any point, you know, the Cubs had a good season. They made the playoffs, as we predicted, barely. But...
I take that back. He could have talked to him about that earlier.
Yeah.
Earlier on.
But it's just a matter of... I mean, the bottom line was the problems during the season played out in the game, right? Like,
well, think about it. Nothing ever clicked at the same time for them.
Right.
The first half, the starting pitching was bad. Historically bad.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
The bullpen saved their bacon the first half of the season.
Yeah.
And then they hit they were average hitters. Right. Second half of the season, the starting pitching got a lot better, but the bullpen was so taxed from the first half.
Right.
They, you know, got torched. And then they either were average hitters or they didn't hit at all.
Yeah, and then and Lester pitched his brains out. Like, Lester did everything he could to keep them in the game. And,
right.
I mean, he did. I mean, that's what his job was supposed to be. He kept them in the game.
Right.
They just could not score any runs, period. Freeland pitched, you know, like pitched a gem, and that was that.
Yeah.
So, on to bigger and better. What do you think they're going to do? Now, Russell, I'm assuming Russell's done.
Well, right? See, and that's what I think, too. I mean, he got 45, what, Manfred gave him 45?
40 games, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's irreparable here, right?
I gotta think, yeah.
If he would have been a Machado or, right. You know, an elite player.
Even if he was Javi Baez.
He would have found a way to try to spin it for us.
Yep.
To want him back. But 100%. The fact that he struggled ever since this came out.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. 100%.
So, I mean, Theo left the door open for him. He said, everything's possible. We're not sure.
Right.
Same thing with Daniel Murphy, where he said, we're a better team with him than without him, but you're not going to pony up a ton of dough for a 30-year-old second baseman.
No.
He's kind of a liability.
Right.
I mean, the fact that that guy played as well as he did, as much as he did.
Yeah, for sure.
They got him as a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
They were just going to spot start him.
Yeah, no.
And he played every day.
He did. He did, absolutely.
And, I mean, if you think about the World Series year compared to this year.
Yeah.
The one thing that they were missing the last 2 years, let's say, is a legit leadoff hitter. And, I mean, there's so many statistics to say, yeah, whatever, that guy bats to start the game,
yeah.
and then everybody's a leadoff hitter at the beginning of the inning, whatever.
So
kind of your ass wimpy.
I have a confession to make, by the way.
Yeah.
Last night on the way home, because when I get far enough south from Chicago,
mm-hmm.
the ESPN 1000 cuts out, badly.
Really?
So okay. I made the effort because I was out of podcasts and I had to turn the score on.
I'm sorry?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So caller calls Les, right? And goes, so, hey, Les, what do you think? What do you think they're going to do with Hamels and Murphy? What do you think they're going to do with Hamels and Murphy? And here's Les's riveting response. Ready? Here we go. Well, you know, they could keep both of them. They could keep either one, or they could keep none. That
next caller.
That's his response. Like no insight, no
analysis,
no opinion about who they should. Nothing. It was simply, well, they could keep both of them.
The fact that Les didn't go who is a win. I think.
I know. And I immediately had to turn on like traffic. Like I'd rather listen to traffic 1 a.m. Yeah. traffic.
Oh, there's been times I've gone to listen to commercials.
Oh, I'd rather.
The content.
Oh, my God. I tried to say, you know, just I'll give them one more shot and then that. And then I'm like, no.
You know, I got to tell you, man, this is a weird space to be in. This is like rare air as a Cub fan.
Yeah.
This, you know, normally you bust your ass and you hope for the best and then you mm-hmm. just fall a little short and you're like, oh, okay. All right. Whatever.
Right.
But now you're expected to win.
Yeah.
And that's such a weird thing. And there's like, there's no benefit to that. You know what I mean?
Right. No, 100%.
You're expected to win. So when you win, you're like, yeah, we were supposed to.
Right.
But when you lose, it's completely devastating.
Yeah. And that's the expectation, right?
It is the expectation. That's exactly right.
And I
don't want to turn into the Braves fans from the 90s.
Yeah, exactly.
Where, you know, it's the first round of the playoffs and half the stadium's empty.
Right. Exactly.
Why? Well, because we've won the division for a decade.
Ho-hum, come to me in the NLCS.
It's not exciting.
Right.
Get to a World Series, and then maybe we'll talk.
Exactly.
I don't want to be that way.
No, don't be.
The only time I can think of that we were even close to that was like the Jordan Bulls.
Yeah.
Or the post-Cup Hawks. And then
people
showed up.
Yeah, the place was sold out every night.
But you looked at those teams, and you're like, well, I expect you to win.
Right.
You know? There's nobody that you're going to go up against that I'm like, ooh, we'll be lucky to squeak this one out.
Yeah, now we're going to come to this point now in this season for the Bears, right?
Yes.
A little transition part there for a minute.
Right.
Where the expectation now isn't, the bar is set now, right?
Right.
Like, are they going to be as good as they were against Tampa Bay? No, because Tampa Bay sucks.
Their
defense sucks. Fitzpatrick was due for a download.
If you looked at his
career.
Yeah,
kind of, exactly. there was correction coming for the Bears, right? Now, they're not as bad as they were in the second half of the Packers game, and they're not as good as they were in the first half of the Tampa game, right? So they're somewhere in the middle.
Right. Well, again, right. I was talking to my old man, and I said they could either be, you know, 3-1, 1-3, or 4-0.
Yes, for sure. They could be they were half a football away from being undefeated right now.
Yeah,
but they were also
the other way around.
Correct. They were half a football away from being 2-2.
Yeah,
Cardinals game, that first half of that Cardinals game was an abomination.
No. The only win I'm giving them is that Tampa game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's guaranteed. That one's locked.
That was an ass kicking. That was so fun to watch.
It was great.
They were, oh my God. And
I mean, it was like every question that had happened that week. Hey, where's Mitch's accuracy? Hey, where's the long ball?
Right.
Hey, where's throwing to multiple receivers?
Right.
Hey, you know, all of it. It was all answered. It was like, okay, check.
Asked and answered.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and one of the things that came up prior to that game, when everybody was just pounding on Mitch, was how difficult this offense really is and how little of it we've seen so far.
Yeah, and it's going to be...
We've seen less than half of it.
Right, yeah, and we'll see what... I mean, we kind of... The bye week is always a good time because you get to get rested and healthy or whatever, but man, I'd love to see them play this week.
Oh, right? Reed, coming off that.
Continue the momentum.
Yeah.
The Dolphins are kind of a middle-of-the-road team. Most of the teams in the NFL are middle of the road, really, if you think about it, right?
Because that's
what they want.
Yeah, that's the way
the league is constructed.
A few at the top, there's that big clump, and then there's like a few shitty ones at the bottom.
Right, right. Yeah, and then...
There's your parity.
Yeah, they're like I said, yeah, they're off this week. They play Miami in Miami next week. So it'd be interesting to see what happens there. The Dolphins' defense clearly is better than what Tampa Bay showed. So we'll see what happens. And by the way, the Bears, I know on the schedule, they're playing their next four games against the AFC East.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
They go to Miami next, and then they come home to play the Patriots.
Yep.
Who started off brutal.
Yeah, and then you knew they were going to turn it around. Like, it was only a matter of time.
And, I did.
Did you watch any of the game last night or no? Probably not, I'm guessing.
No, I did not.
Yeah, Josh Gordon had a touchdown.
Oh.
So... The league now is all, you know, fucked.
Yeah, I left that responsibility to scout them for you.
Done and done, even though I was watching baseball. No, actually, I was watching the Hawks game.
Watching
a big Hawks game last night.
I like the Brewer.
Yeah, dude. They seem like a team of destiny, don't they?
Right, but I mean, I like everything about them. Last three seasons, I mean, Council can be a little bit of a red ass sometimes, but I kind of like his philosophy and the way that he uses his team.
Yeah.
And the last 3 years, they've been, you know, really competitive. And it was like this year, it's like, well, you know what? We're looking at our window. We see what we've got. This is the year that we're going to spend the money and go for it.
Right. And he had the foresight to know, okay, these are the pieces I need, right? Yeah. And Miami was, you heard the beeping all the way to Milwaukee, them backing the truck up.
Right.
So
you
knew you could get Yelich for a reasonable sum. He was just the right guy in the right place with the right offer, I guess, right? To get Yelich.
Yeah, I have him on my fantasy team, and I've had him since he came up with the Marlin, but I never thought this guy would be that guy.
And he's going to be the MVP.
Yeah.
That's a done deal. Like, 2 weeks ago, we were debating if it was going to be Yelich or Baez on this very podcast.
Well, I think
we
decided whoever won was going to get it.
Yeah, and turns out Brewers won, so there you go.
Well, there's your MVP. Almost, I don't want to say single-handedly to Yelich, but I mean, didn't he go 4-for-4 in one of those games?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The guy's been unbelievable. And getting Kane, you know, trading, and the Gio Gonzalez trade kind of worked out a little bit. Gio, he's another streaky dude, right? He's been this way. He was with the Sox and everything else. Like, just, it's either good Gio or bad Gio.
Yeah.
There's no in between.
But, and I think they could take that risk at that time.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And then, they got the cat from the Sox.
Yeah. They got Joaquin Soria in the bullpen.
I mean, Moustakas. Sure. I don't want to skip over him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they traded from Moustakas, and then they got Soria from the Sox.
Right.
And then they also got Xavier Cedeño from the Sox, right? If I remember right.
I believe that's correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Brewers look like the favorites in the National League.
If you pointed to one, well... Once the Cubs were knocked out, they have the best record in...
Yeah, they've got home field throughout the entire playoffs. Yeah. So,
I mean, the one like Achilles heel or the one thorn in the lion's paw, whatever you want to call it, was Arcia. That guy is trash. He is trash. I want to say he hit like 210.
Yeah. Well, then they traded for Scoop. I forgot about him too.
No, no, I said him after
I did. No, I totally flaked on Scoop. Because Arcia was trash, and then they're not. I'm thinking of Jonathan Villar. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Villar started the season just dog shit, and I think they realized early on that they needed somebody better than Villar, so they traded him to the Orioles for Shoup.
I was going to say, and just for the record, I'm glad you said Shoup because I've said Scope, you've said Scoop, and then now you've said Shoup. So
it's one of those.
You want to say that cat's name?
Well, it's either Scope or Shoup. Or
thanks, Les.
You bet. Anytime. Cutting edge analysis here on It's That Podcast.
Next caller.
Next caller. Oh, by the way.
More about.
But side note to this.
Yes.
Remember we did our sports writers on TV. Our sports writers on TV tribute before. Yeah. Dave Anderson, that guy he died yesterday.
Oh, bless his heart.
Yeah, not Gleason. Gleason's been dead for a while.
No, I know. The ghost of Gleason was a big Dave Anderson fan, though.
Exactly, he was. Dave Anderson is bigger than Michael Jordan, which made me laugh my balls off. But that guy, Dave Anderson dead, Michael Jordan alive. So who wins now? That's my question.
All right, so we both like the Brewer. I'll tell you who else I don't abhor in the Central. I kind of like the Pirate. I mean, probably because I've got a buddy that's a Pirates fan.
The funniest thing about them is that they just deal away player after player after player and somehow sniff the division.
Yeah.
Not saying win, but they're sniffing around, you know.
No, this was a rebuild year, and it was amazing. What, the first 2 months of the season they were in first place by 4 or 5 games.
Yeah. I mean they traded Cole. They traded McCutcheon.
Yes.
I mean they still have some players like Polanco. Polanco got hurt actually at the end of the season.
Correct. Marte was bended.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's... And they still somehow did something.
Yeah.
Plus, they play, in my opinion, the best ballpark in baseball.
I am going for the Cerveceros the rest of the way.
Yeah.
They're my guys.
Yeah.
Just to finish, just round off the Central for you, I don't like the Reds because of Marty Brenneman. That guy...
100%.
Guy's a douche.
He is a big douche.
And then I hate the Cardinals. And Joe, you know... I know the word hate I take very strongly. I don't just toss it around. I hate the Cardinals and I hate the Packers and pretty much everything else in life I can learn to live with.
Yep. And mine substitute Cardinals for Twins. And then
we're
good. Yeah, I hate the Twins. Fuck them. That's right. I said it. Fuck them. Because I hate them. Douchebags. Oh, right. Extraordinary. They have a nice park. Target Field's nice. But
it
does not make up for the piece of trash that takes the field every day in that place. Not at all.
Speaking of the Sox future.
Yeah.
Now, at the start of the season, we're like, okay, this year's going to suck. And then we kind of told ourselves, well, in the back of our head, you know, hey, maybe, what if it's like the Pirates? What if they do kind of show flashes of what they're going to be or whatever, you know? And then it didn't. It just looked bad and worse and then bad.
Yep.
And we had to keep telling ourselves, well, this is the process. This is what you do.
Yeah. It's frustrating, but at the same point, I can understand why they did it. A and B, next year they'll be better.
Right. No, and I get that. And I mean, the Jimenez conversation, we never should have had it. It was always about the contract. It was never about anything else.
Nope.
And is the risk there that the player gets pissed that he's standing down there for a year?
Well, they did it, the Cubs did it to Bryant.
Yeah, but for 2 weeks.
Yeah, at the same point, though, Bryant still came out and was MVP. I mean, he was pissed off for 2 weeks.
But, I mean, they told him ahead of time. They said, hey, listen, this is why we're doing this.
Yeah.
You'll be up in 2 weeks. And but this was a year. Right. They didn't even bring him up in September.
No, they didn't. Yeah. My opinion on it is they did the right thing, I think.
Yeah.
He had no business. Let's be here from the jump where the attitude is everybody's on the same page. And you know when they go out and sign Manny Machado, then, you know, it's all good. I'm just kidding. They're not doing that. I'm just kidding.
Not
do that. I mean, it'd be... Anyway. But
hey.
Next year, here's your problem with the White Sox next year, and it's the same problem they had this year, is that their starting pitching is just kind of there.
Meh.
You got... Lopez had a great breakout season this year. I'm sure he'll improve. Rodon was great in the time that he pitched, because he was out for the first 3 months, I think it was.
Okay.
Kopech is out for the year. He had Tommy John surgery, so he's done. James Shields will be gone. The White Sox will, here's $2 million, go away. At the very least, he may be back, but not under the contract that he had, put it that way. Because the team has a $2 million buyout option.
Right. So if they go to him and say, hey, listen, we'll give you 3-1.
Right, we'll give you 2 to go away officially, and then we'll sign you back for 4 or 5.
Oh,
who knows? Maybe he'll take it. Maybe he won't. Whatever. I mean, he could probably command 10 from a team that needs a pitcher. Because I really
thought he was going to go to a contender.
So did I. I'm wondering if there was a clause in his contract where if he got dealt, the next year kicked in automatically. I wonder if that is a thing.
Yeah, and I could see teams not wanting to touch that.
No, because he's due $24 million.
Yeah,
something like that, or twenty million.
I'm not paying that for an innings eater.
No, absolutely not. But I mean, you'll have Lopez, you'll have Rodon, you'll have Giolito, he's been streaky, but young pitchers are that way, right?
Right.
Dylan Covey was terrible. I'm wondering about Michael Fulmer, if he's going to be able to be anything. Because they touted him as the next big thing, then they put him in the bullpen and fucked with his head instead of keeping him as a starter.
Right.
So I'm wondering if maybe, I don't know. And you're going to get the good news is next year you should have your closer back in Zach Birdie. He was in AAA, and he had Tommy John surgery 2 years ago, so he should be ready to go this spring training.
Yeah, so we're not talking about seeing Kopech again until 20?
Yeah, 2020. Yeah. 2020. You will not see him in 2019. That's not going to happen.
Wow.
And it's weird. Did you hear about this, by the way? Shohei Ohtani? So Ohtani's going to have Tommy John surgery.
Did you see this?
Because he has a torn UCL, right?
Yeah.
So he's going in for Tommy John surgery, but he's going to bat next year.
And just not pitch?
And not pitch.
So he'll be a DH?
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
I don't know that I like that.
I don't know how you can. How do you bat with?
Obviously, they're different motions, and
of course,
I'm sure the coach is having a seizure right now.
Yeah, well, it's not going to be Mike Socia. He quit.
Right.
So they're going to have a new manager next year, but it's still, right?
Rest.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand why you would do that.
You know what, though? Maybe they decided that, hey, you know what? Going forward, you're just going to be a hitter for us.
Maybe.
But if he was going to do that, then would you put him in the... No, I guess you wouldn't
put him in. You can't put him in the field because he can't throw.
Right.
So now he is your DH, and now you're stuck with a 90-year-old Albert Pujols with bad legs. Everything from the waist down doesn't work.
You're going to have to play if you want his bat in the lineup.
And he's got to play first because you're paying him, what, $25 million?
Yeah.
Like, you got to play him.
That is the...
I mean, it's the same boat the Cubs are in with Hayward.
That's the biggest beer league softball team.
Oh, big time, yeah.
In the MLB.
And like I said, it's the thing the Cubs have to do with Hayward. Like, you have no choice.
Right.
He has to play.
Right.
Every day, or 140 games a year or whatever.
Right.
Like, he has to play. You paid him too much money to sit.
Yeah.
You know, and then for the Cubs, what are you going to do with Darvish? And you paid the guy, what, $18, $20 million this year for one win?
Yeah, I think...
Let that sink in for a minute.
I think legally, I think the counselors get involved on this one, and you encourage Mr. Darvish to retire.
Let this sink in for a minute. If you, Darvish, got 2 wins instead of one, you're in the DS tonight.
Yeah.
Think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Right.
That's a horrible thought.
Probably down 0-1.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if you, Darvish... got 2 wins, doubled his wins from 1 to 2.
Yes.
You're playing tonight. Or you played yesterday. My bad, they played yesterday. But you would be playing yesterday.
No, but I mean, yeah, I got your point. And the Brewers won miraculously,
yeah,
which was awesome. Right. But, I mean, the Cubs team is still the Cubs team.
Correct.
I mean, even if we would have limped there and the Rockies came to play us.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, I get it. But I mean, you were that close. You're so close.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are so many things that went wrong this season. And what's funny, I heard an interview with Theo, and you know, he talks about how they run the simulations, and yeah. you know, for every MLB season, and yeah. all things that can happen, and how many wins you'll win, and you know, this. It's just funny how what happened to them could have been devastating, but then somehow, either through smoke and mirrors or right. guts, or just the fact that you think you should win, they did.
Yeah,
you know, that was like the weakest 95 win team I think I've ever seen.
It seemed like it, and like we kept reiterating on the podcast, like they have the best record in baseball in the National League, I should say.
Yeah.
Every time we think, oh, they suck, they're this, they're that, they still, what does that say for the rest of the league?
I know. And the eye test, though. I mean, yeah, if you put right. them in low to the Red Sox, you're like, well, no, that's the World Series winner that's, right there.
You're right.
You guys are happy to be here.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even think the Red Sox might not even win the American League.
Really? You think the Yankees?
The Astros. When you have four pitchers that they have.
Yeah. No, that's true. In a short series, I hadn't thought of that.
The Red Sox don't have that.
No.
The Yankees don't have that.
No. And even with Sale doesn't have a good postseason
right.
track right. record. I mean,
the Indians limited. The Indians have that. The Indians have four good starting pitchers, but they don't have the bats the Astros do.
Correct.
You know, the Indians had four guys this year just killing. I mean, didn't they have four guys with 200 strikeouts, if I remember right? See, yeah, heard about this?
Bauer, Clevinger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kluber. And Bauer, Clevinger, Kluber. I forget the... Oh, Carrasco.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, four guys with 200 strikeouts.
Okay, so going back to the Sox future.
Yeah.
And Kopech's troubles. Did they bring people up too quick? Other than Jimenez, obviously, because we've already discussed that.
I don't think it's the thing with elbow injuries. Are they were going to happen?
Yeah. So I guess that's my question. Would that have happened in Double A?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, down there, and you don't have nearly the medical treatment you have here, right?
Right.
Now, could have been. I'll flip the script 100% and say maybe it could have been prevented if he were here. Right? Because Herm could have had him in the off-day regime that they have up here, where their guys, as a rule, their starting pitchers don't get hurt. They yeah. may suck.
Right.
But as a rule, they don't get hurt.
Yeah. Well, that used to be Jerry's thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He would never pay for pitching.
No. No.
Probably it was always won't. Homegrown, because every time he paid for it, he got burned.
Yeah.
Who was the guy?
Tommy Navarro.
Who? Okay, there's one example.
Yep.
I was thinking James Baldwin.
No, the player that started all this for Jerry was Alex Fernandez.
Oh, that okay.
Yeah, and Alex Fernandez wanted a 4-year deal. Jerry said nope, and then he went to Miami, pitched half a season, and blew his elbow out, and was done.
It was like
done.
Look, done.
Right, exactly.
Right, yep. But then Baldwin, didn't he pay him a ton of dough, and then he ended up going to the Dodgers?
I don't remember about a ton of dough, but yeah, they paid him. He got paid a little bit, yeah, for sure. They paid him more than, you know, his qualifying offer or whatever it was. Yeah, no, they tried to lock him. Well, they locked up Sale too. Before they reached free agency, they came to a deal with Sale. So I mean, it's not unprecedented for them to give a deal while they're still on their rookie deal. So that they don't have to pay him, you know, they'd rather pay him up front, like 10 times what they were making, because they're not making dick, than have to pay them $20 million at the end. Like, they'd rather pay him $5 million now than $20 million later.
But again, homegrown dudes.
Yes, correct. Yeah, free agent pitchers, they'll sign free agent relievers.
Right.
To 1-year deals. And they, you know, they totally do that.
Well, they had a string for a while, like with Addison Reed back there.
Mm-hmm.
Where
yeah, bullpen.
I think they use Sale as
yeah. When they first brought him up, yeah. But I think that and it's just a matter of they can't.
That's what's weird with Fulmer.
They just can't. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with Fulmer. Like that's.
I don't know. I know, but it's weird that they kind of had a history of doing this, yes. And then this kid just went.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. You're right. And this kid just goes out and just is terrible.
It's like, right.
Okay, now right. what?
It was in his head.
It was completely in his head.
All right, man. Let's talk about, well, I guess we kind of talked about the Beloved a little bit, and they are on a bye week this week.
They are. They are. A-plus. A-plus-plus for Nagy. In that game. A-plus-plus.
Yeah. If you know what? I mean, we always talk about how good the first 15 plays look and feel.
It was the entire game.
The whole game felt like.
Yes. Yeah.
Like they knew what they were doing the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yep, 100%. And it's a matter of, okay, now what? What's the next game going to look like? Like, if people think it's going to be that all the time, they're sadly mistaken.
Yeah.
Because Tampa Bay's defense up until that game was hot trash.
They were.
An average NFL defense will play better than what we saw. And I think the Dolphins have an average NFL defense.
They do.
So to think they're going to, that Trubisky's going to throw six touchdowns against Miami is ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't see that.
But there's hope. There's open field. We're starting to see the groundwork of what Nagy's trying to do.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
It's all been out of sight in the back room. Don't look behind the curtain.
Correct.
Right. And now it's starting. Okay. All right. There you go. Boom. Okay. Great. And Tariq Cohen, as we kind of predicted, is starting to be the A back, right?
Yes.
Like he's starting to get, I mean, he had all the receptions in the last game. I just happen to have the game book right here, Jay.
Which is fine, you know, and that's fine for him. Again, swing pass to him coming out of the backfield, perfect. But they still run him inside the tackles way too much for me.
Yeah, I agree with you there, 100%. So Cohen was 13 carries, 53 yards rushing, and then another 8 targets, 7 receptions, 121 yards.
And obviously, you have to mix that up. Otherwise, okay, right. Howard's in. He's right. Coming up the gut.
Yeah. And I touched on this earlier, or in the singles hit that I did. Kevin White, again.
The solo podcast.
The solo podcast, exactly. Let me find his number right here. Hold on. Kevin White, there it is. He played 28 snaps.
Huh.
He was on 46% of the plays. Now, he did not even get a target. But, you know, if you're a receiver in his position, right, you're a first-round pick, you've been hurt, you've sucked.
Yeah.
I completely can understand somewhat checking out, right, when they're not even throwing you the ball. But they had that bubble screen to Cohen that he just laid this devastating block on the DB, right?
Yes.
He has every right to not make that block, considering how things have gone.
Well,
but he's a pro. He's trying to show people that he's a pro. And well, he stepped and up and made that block.
Okay, and this is probably because it came from West Virginia, right?
Maybe.
But, no, I mean, when he got here, he was acting like he wanted to be Randy Moss Jr., yes, right?
Yeah.
In limited time that we've seen him on, you know, in action before he got hurt.
Right.
Like he would make a grab for a first down and he'd get up and he'd have a lot of histrionics and,
yep,
you know,
yep.
And you're like, oh, okay, this guy, he's trying to prove something.
Yeah.
So, and if you're going to prove something ever, it's got to be this year, man.
Yeah. And it's got to be,
if he does what you were saying, if he checks out, if he turtles or looks bad,
he's
or
done.
Look bad, he's done. Nobody's going to touch him.
Nope.
I mean, here's a ticket to Canada.
Yeah. Or the Arena League. Yeah. Exactly. And
the thing is, he'll be the best player ever there.
My guess is somebody will gamble on him because he was a first-round pick. Like somebody will take a gamble on him. But then they'll see what Nagy sees and they won't play him. And again, I don't know what that is, but.
I mean, 28, you know, last time it was how many? It was like 6 plays, 1 flag.
Yes.
Yeah, and then so now 28, 1 great block, right. No flags.
Well, to be fair, Anthony Miller got hurt. Anthony Miller didn't play.
Oh, that's right.
So they needed bodies out there, and they played Wims too.
So, yeah, I mean,
but still, again, like I said, he could have checked out and not done anything. He could have just put a token block on that guy like a chip.
This is the next man up league, man.
Got that right.
I mean,
yes.
When somebody goes down, you got a shot to show it.
Got to. Got to be ready to go. And we'll see what happens on, on next Sunday with White and the whole scenario. But they're starting to feature Cohen in the background. If you're playing fantasy football, if you hear this, Tariq Cohen might be a good pickup. especially in a PPR league.
And especially if you already have Jordan Howard, like my dumbass.
And my dumbass, too, yes. But the thing about Howard is his numbers haven't been great, but because they haven't really asked him to do anything.
Not yet.
Right? Like, they've put him in the game when they've needed to run the clock out, basically.
Right.
So his yards per, you know, his average isn't great, but that's because that's how he's being used. It isn't because of his talent.
Right. But, you know, what? And what's funny is when they talked about this early on, Nagy was like, no, he's a three-down back. Absolutely he is. And now you're like, I don't even know if he's an any down back.
Well, he's a first down back, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe a fourth down back to get you that yard, right? But they're going to find ways to not, you know, like there was that first down in the game two weeks ago, I should say, when they did the pitched it to Robinson. Remember, Robinson was in motion, yes, and they pitched it to him and they got the first down that way. Like, they're going to come up with creative ways to get first downs on fourth down. They're not just going to hand it to Howard. They could. I mean, just run it behind 75.
Well, we've seen the shovel pass twice now.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's been there for touchdowns. It's gotten a touchdown. Yeah. It's gotten a couple of key first downs. So
yeah.
They've been playing all right. And I like what I see. I hope they keep it up. My guess is they will. But there's going to be some, like, Bears fans need to temper their excitement a skosh. Like, it's great to be excited about what happened because it was fun to watch. And kicked the Bucks. They knocked their dick in the dirt.
Right.
But no, I know. It's not going to be that way every week.
Yeah. We'll need to dial it down maybe 25%.
Yeah. Like, instead of six touchdowns for Mitch, how about three?
Like, I'll take three touchdowns. Right. But here's the other thing.
Yeah.
Who thought that the Vikings and the Packers were going to look
so bad? Oh, my God. The Vikings look like
horrible.
Dumpster fire.
What's up with Emerson Griffin?
What's up with that whole team?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm just sitting here just shake my head. I'm like, how can they be that bad?
I don't know.
The Lions were kind of expected to be bad. The Packers are go as 12 goes, right?
Right.
That's the way they've been the last 3 years. They go as 12 goes.
Yeah, but it was supposed to go Vikings, Packers, Bears, Lions.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And now that's just – and Davante Adams is out for the year?
Yeah.
Is that right?
No. I don't think that's right. I think they were talking about him playing Sunday. Oh.
Wait, what?
Limited, though, but yeah. I think so. If there was only some sort of interconnected network of computers. If there was only a way.
You think Gruden would like to have a defensive end?
Did you see that defense he's got? I don't know how true it is, but there was a tweet that somebody sent out, one of the Raiders beat writers, that before the game, because the Raiders, obviously, if they play on the West Coast, they're not... you know, they see all the early games first, the results, right?
Right.
So on the strip sack that Mac had, again, four straight games, right?
Right.
He goes, did he get another strip sack? And he just looks at his coaches and just shakes his head. He's like, fuck. I'm just like, you could have signed him.
What? Yeah. He was right there for you.
I don't understand why you didn't just sign the guy. You
know, it's not often that an NFC player, defensive player of the month,
right,
is available to you,
right,
for you to just say yes, do that.
That's it. That's all you do. Just say yes, and here's your money, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Like, yeah, no. He was the first or second best player on the Bears defense every week. And rightly so, got that.
Oh, did you see who the leading tackler was, by the way, in the game Sunday, this past Sunday?
Who's that?
Kevin Tolliver.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. The guy that they're picking on, like all the DBs and offensive coordinators can't wait to throw the ball by him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had the most tackles.
Nice.
How about that?
How about that?
That's crazy talk. All right, so I'm trying to dig up dirt on Adams here. Hold on 1 second. But yeah, it's... Exactly. Sorry. Okay. I mean, he's questionable for the game.
I had my soundboard. You'd get well.
Exactly. We're waiting. Exactly. Head coach Mike McCarthy on Friday said Friday morning that Adams will practice Saturday because they don't. I was listening to the Fantasy Focus podcast from ESPN, and they said the Packers don't really practice on Friday, but they practice on Saturday.
Okay.
Which is weird, but according to this,
I thought Saturday was a walkthrough day.
That's the way most teams run.
All right.
The Packers have a full practice on Saturday.
Dumbasses.
Can't really, yeah. They've been the top of the. I mean, it's tough to argue with it.
It is.
But the final call may not come until the game day. But they said he's going to practice Saturday. Now, what practice means, I don't know. Limited. Is he going to be a full participant? You know what I mean? Like, so. But he's not dead.
He's not sports dead. I don't know why I thought that. For some reason, I thought it must have been a lot worse than it was.
Yeah, no, it's just he got a calf.
Mm.
Oh, mm. It was so good, by the way. I meant to tell you this, too. I watched Wani. They have a Tuesday show on NBC Sports Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
It's Wani and Luke Stuckmeyer.
Oh, that's a good show.
And they go through and they break down video of the previous Bears game about, like, hey, this is what he should have done. This is what he could have done.
Uh-huh.
And everybody can rat on how bad a head coach Dave Wannstedt is. Like, people person, he's probably terrible. He knows his X's and O's.
Yeah, he does.
100%. And he was awesome. He was breaking down how... Remember the play where it was 2 weeks ago that he overthrew Robinson? Or underthrew him. He underthrew him. And Wannstedt breaks it down as simply as possible and goes, he threw the ball too late. Like, he had Robinson here. He should have thrown it here, but he threw it 5 yards later. And he threw the ball too late, so he underthrew it. And I'm like, that's fucking brilliant. I don't know how long he looked at film to find that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But he was concise. Oh, yeah, right here. He should have thrown the ball here. Oh, and then he went 5 yards further down the field. Threw the ball too late, so it underthrew it.
I'm like, all right.
Okay. 100%.
I know. I think the thing with Wannstedt, and I'm only gleaning this from what I've heard Bernstein say about him.
Yeah.
I don't think he was confident.
Yeah.
For him as a number two, he was perfect for Jimmy Johnson, right? That guy had the attitude. He had the so-called quote unquote charisma.
Yeah.
Wannstedt could be the X's and O's guy. He could, you know, tell him this is what I think. And then, but it's not my final decision. So
right.
Weigh on me. I think the head coach job did that to him because Bernstein said they would be walking along after practice, just the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be like, Bernstein, what do you think about this? And like bouncing all these ideas off him. And Bernstein's like, I don't know.
You're the head coach.
I'm a stupid kid.
Right.
I'm on a job that doesn't pay me anything. And you're asking me what I really think about.
I'm a complete dumbass. What are you asking me for?
So, but apparently, like, he never liked being alone, and he would always ask people wanting to get, you know, like, affirmation or reassurance on what he was thinking was actually right. But you're right, man. Yeah. I mean, I think he has it. I just think, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. I think there's more to a head coach than X's and O's, right? I think every head coach knows their X's and O's. Like, you don't get to that point without knowing your X's and O's. But it's how are you as a person and a manager? Like, how do you interact with people? And I think Wani maybe has a problem with that. Like, I don't think he's very good at it.
No. But, you know, it's funny when the heat's not on him, like, you know, not having the responsibility of that job.
Yeah.
I mean, I love him. When he would talk to Mully and Hanley.
Yeah, and he's great.
He's three guys sitting around talking, telling stories and stuff. I mean, so it's like personally, he can probably relate to you, but being a face of an organization.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Might be too much.
I don't think so. No.
It takes a special kind of person to pull that off.
Exactly. It takes a special people. And the funniest part is Belichick is probably the most coarse human being possible.
You know, and that's got to be an outlier, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
He's the exact opposite of what I just said.
Yeah, he's a dick.
Mumble, 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 mumble.
He's a stuttering prick.
That's what
he is. Yeah, pretty much. And then, but he wins.
Yeah,
he finds a way to win. He finds a way to get the most out of his players.
Right.
So I don't know. Being a head coach, man, it's a funny business.
I mean, Nagy's not the most personable guy, but he's young and he's...
Yeah.
Passionate
and he's kind of bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, right? Like,
yeah,
like the job hasn't beat him down yet.
Correct.
It will eventually. It does to everybody.
Oh.
But it just hasn't to him yet because everything's so new and he's got so much to prove and so much to
you
know, teach Mitch and teach the rest of the offense.
And I love that whole. Damn it! What is it again? they're winning. Attitude type thing is winning is not an attitude, it's a
lifestyle.
lifestyle? Is that it?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, winning's not something you turn on and off. It's
right.
What you are. Which is right. True. It's 100% true.
It's true. No, I mean, and that's what all winning culture is about, really.
Yeah.
You got to turn it around, which Brandon Marshall tried to tell people, yeah, but
and he was having none of it.
It's just the wrong vehicle or voice for that message.
Exactly.
All right, man, before we bust out of here,
yeah.
Let's touch quick on early bull. Did you see any of the Buck game the other night?
I did not. Did not see a lick of it.
They got spanked. The one bright spot that I saw, because my concern was Chris Dunn going to the Cup.
Yeah.
After the Duncan Keith's got no teeth incident.
Yeah.
I was afraid that he would be able to go hard up there, but I saw him take it several times.
Yeah, and
And strong, you know, no hesitation.
Yeah, the key here is going to be what are they going to do without Markkanen for the first, 6 weeks of the season, right?
Right.
And then what's Jabari Parker going to contribute? Like where does he lie?
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with them. And the Hawks started the season last night, a big road overtime victory against the really awful Ottawa. The Hawks are not going to be good, by the way.
Right.
They're really not going to be very good.
But how long's Crawford up?
That's a good question. He's been medically cleared.
Okay.
Right. But the problem is he isn't in any kind of game shape. Like he hasn't played in a game in months.
Right.
So it's like,
okay. Well, and that's what we talked about before, where the Hawks playing the close to the vest, where they were saying, oh, yeah, we don't know if he's even skated yet.
Right.
It's like, all right, is this some kind of tactic?
Exactly.
Or do you really not know?
But no, he's been medically cleared to play. He's medically cleared to play.
Like that's
a thing. But timetable, minimum a month, I would think.
Oh, wow.
Because he's got to play. Like my guess is they'll send him down to Rockford.
The Ice Hogs.
And get him a conditioning stint down there, I would hope, before they try to throw him on the ice against NHL competition.
Cam's too old to go a month, isn't he? Who's the backup?
Well, the backup was Anton Forsberg.
Okay.
But Anton Forsberg got hurt in the pregame skate yesterday, and they had to call up their guy from Rockford.
Okay.
So I don't know what's going on there. Ward cannot be your starting goalie.
I'm sorry?
Ward cannot be your starting goalie.
I know.
That can't be a thing. So
I mean, he was around to fill in like every fourth day, something
Yeah,
like
he's a good 20-start-a-year guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
Crawford should be playing 60 and he should be playing 20. Or something like that. But
they were going to call the 40-year-old accountant out. Well, actually, this was on the road. So
yeah,
whatever those people do for the emergency backup goalie.
Right. No accountant necessary, I don't think. They got enough guys. It's just going to be a matter of getting Crawford back. And the team's not going to be good anyway.
Yeah.
And I think Bowman knows that. So I don't know if he's going to rush him back or not. I don't know if it's going to make a difference. I don't think it's going to matter a lick, but
wow,
yeah,
that's kind of a sad outlook.
And I'm a big Hawks fan, but at the same point, it's like this team is just—they're old. They're just old. They're getting old, and in this league, you can't get old.
It just seems like it was such a short time ago.
Yeah,
that they were kids.
Yeah, not anymore.
Well, I mean,
three Stanley Cups. I mean, it's great that they got them and all, but playing in those seasons take it out of you.
Yeah.
They really take it out of you. On the
defensive end is where the age really shows, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But they'll be better. I mean, they'll be fun to watch still. I mean, hockey's still my favorite wintertime sport, but I can't see them being even a playoff team probably at this point.
Right.
But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I'll tell you this too, man. I mean, even though I knew the Cubs were going to be in an early exit,
yeah,
it was kind of nice not to have that like knot in my stomach all day.
Right.
Yeah, every day, you know, just worrying about up, down, good, bad.
Yep. You don't have to worry about that.
Last night I kind of went, and you just watch a game to
watch a game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And like I said, hope the Brewers win, but you know, if they lost, I don't care.
Right. You have no vested interest. Who the hell cares, right?
Exactly. It's not going to affect
you. You can root against the Brewers if you want.
No, there's no need to, though.
Right, exactly.
Team.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
They worked hard. They did the right things.
Absolutely.
Let them have it.
Yeah, you're right. 100%. 100%.
So, if I'm compiling what I learned from you during this episode, Mr. Joe Lindholm is going to say the Brewer versus the Astro.
Yeah. I'll go
with the Astro winning it all.
I'll go on the record. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. It's gonna be tough to beat, man. The Astros are just so damn good. And so are the Red Sox. Don't get me wrong, but you have Sale, right?
Right.
And Price to a certain extent. But I mean, you can't roll out Cole and Verlander, you know, and Morton. You can't roll those guys out, man.
No.
Like the Astros can.
Yeah.
So until proven otherwise, I like the Astro. Like the Brewer Astro would be a fun World Series. Nobody will watch. Nobody will watch that World Series.
Well, I will.
Well, I mean, nobody meaning the country.
No, I got you.
Like the diehard baseball fans will watch it, but other than that, they're not going to be.
If you're MLB, you want either of the coasts or.
Yes, yeah. You want the Dodgers, you want the Yankees, you want the Red Sox. Yeah. Yeah, you don't want the Astros Brewers. You do not want that World Series if you're Fox. Because nobody's going to watch. Nobody. Like they had a thing, somebody tweeted out Tuesday morning about Monday night, because Monday night they had the play-in game.
Uh-huh.
And then Monday Night Football. And like the play-in game was like 3 million people watched the play-in game and 13 mm-hmm. million people watched Monday Night Football.
Wow.
So, yeah. Take that for whatever you want to take it for.
I was going to say, every time we're like, oh, maybe the Shield's getting a little big for its britches.
Nope. Yeah. No, they're the king. They're the king. They are unequivocally the king.
Wow.
Which is, it is what it is. What are you going to do? It's only around for about 4 months, so. Yeah.
Right. So you thinking Brewers Braves?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Brewers Braves and Astros, probably Red Sox. Boston. Yeah. Yeah. That'd be fair.
Okay.
That'd be fair. Well, the clock on the wall says.
All right, kid.
It's time to end this episode of It's That Podcast. This has been It's That Podcast, episode 39. You can find us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/It's That Pod. You can find us on Twitter. I am at Triple Lindy's. Jason is at J, the letter Sleet Shirley. You can email us, joe@itsthatpodcast.com or jason@itsthatpodcast.com. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. And we thank you for listening to this episode of It's That Podcast.
Bears. Fuck. Packers.
Fuck.